Always great to have him in the house. He is one of the more formidable physicians on Long Island. Operates the Sunrise Wellness Center right in Sayville, right off Sunrise Highway there, right for Lakeland Avenue. Wonderful place. His name is Dr. Ron Sinagra, my good friend, soon to be proud papa. And always a pleasure to have him in the house. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Mr. Oliver. How are you today?
Doing well. You're about to become a father in the next couple of weeks. Give me the latest.
Oh, Stephanie's doing great. We got about 2.5 weeks to go. She's ready. She's done. She's just had about enough of this. But we're really excited. She's just uncomfortable. Watching the transformation is just mind-blowing with the female's body and the creation of life. It's been an incredible experience.
No, and also the creation of new nagging. I would pretty much fathom what's been upon you. But all in all, great job. We look forward to that, no question. Hey, tons of stuff to talk about today. What's on the agenda for you?
Yeah, let's talk about healthcare reform because it's a big topic, you know, with the debates and Bernie Sanders and many others are talking about Medicare for all. And so we brought up healthcare on a national discussion level again, and. It's almost like it's an illusion, and no one looks at the big picture. We're really not talking about healthcare reform. What we're really talking about is finding new ways to pay for the old failed system. And that needs to be the discussion, because if we're really talking about healthcare reform, we're going to talk about practice. We're going to talk about philosophy of health. We're going to talk about procedures. That never ever gets mentioned. All we're trying to do is find new ways to pay for a failed system. And when I say it's a failed system, we don't look at the big picture of the United States in terms of it, the health of this nation as compared to other industrialized nations, the health of the general population as compared to 10, 20, 30 years ago, the direction it's going. We just keep thinking that if we can find more ways or different creative ways to pay for this, and the problem we're having is the philosophy of this system is imploding on itself. You cannot just wait for things to break and then medicate a patient and expect the country to become healthier. And that's what's happening now. The reason it's imploding is people are getting sicker and sicker, and we're using more meds, and they're not getting healthier. So you keep having more people having more procedures. Think of how many more syndromes you hear about, from restless leg syndrome and fibromyalgia, and you know now we have opioid-induced constipation, and we have more drugs for that. There seems to be the TV commercials. Every time I turn them on, there's that, you know, oh, I've got this. And I'm like, I never even heard of that before. So it's like we create syndromes and illnesses, and then we create more medications for it. But in the end, we're desperately failing.
And a lot because of previous administrations there, Dr. Ron. I mean, think about it. 5% of this population consumes nearly 50% of the healthcare, and forcing some to pay the same for insurance, regardless of health status, as Obamacare does. You know, to me, that is nothing more than extortion. And listen, you know, you listen to all the experts out there, Ron, and it explains that why Obamacare premiums. You know, think about Obamacare premiums, ladies and gentlemen. They have tripled in price over the last 6 years. I mean, that is incredible when you think about it.
It goes up every year, too, now. And again, remember, before national health care, Jay, we had 90 – remember, there was 35 million uninsured people, and I heard the Democrats screaming about it. How could the richest nation not have national health care? It's a national health care, excuse me. It's a national disgrace. So to insure 35 million people, which is less than 10% of the country, so 90% of us had insurance, what we've done is we raised deductibles from $250 or $500 up to $5,000, and we took my premium at $245 a month, and now I'm at $900. And why does it keep going up? Because you can't, that it's not health care. It's sick care. And look, if a doctor's sitting there writing prescriptions for medications, that's not health care. It's just not. And the reason why we're having all these issues is because we're using crisis care as health care. You ever notice that there's no medicine in a health store and there's nothing healthy in a pharmacy? Think about that.
That's
so
true.
We keep talking about health care, but we don't look at the big picture. I want to share some stats with you. And I love statistics because, you know, we can always twist them any way we want, but these are pretty undeniable. We have the best MDs in the world, by far, the best hospitals, by far, the greatest medical schools in the world. We have the best technology. We have MRIs on every street corner. You go to other countries, you can't even find a public toilet. We have an MRI on every corner. We spend twice as much on healthcare as the number two country in the world spends. And we're dead last in health of all the industrialized nations. And not just this year. As far back as I can remember, I was looking at the National Institute of Health website. We're our health is terrible. So we have the best of everything in medical care, and we're dead last. Now, how could that be? Because medical care is truly sick care. It's crisis care. If a doctor doesn't ask you what you eat, and you don't evaluate someone's lifestyle, that's not healthcare. So we keep finding ways to come up with more medications and more medications. And another stat that blew me away. You know, we're only 5% of the world's population, the United States of America. We consume 65% of the world's prescription drugs. We're the most medicated, the most vaccinated. We consume 80% of the world's opioids. So you ever hear the commercials on TV? Well, make sure that you follow through and take your medication. And, you know, some people, if medications, if prescription drugs were the answer to our health care issues, we would be number one in health in the world. We're the most medicated by far. That's not health. By giving someone with asthma Ventolin, by giving someone with GERD Prilosec, by giving someone with high blood pressure medication or cholesterol medication, that's treating the effects of malfunction. That's not trying to restore health. That's not health care. That's crisis care. And in the past 40 years, we've seen that system in combination with the gross overuse of carbohydrates in our diet. We've seen the destruction of the American diet. The combination of poor diet, no exercise, and massive prescription drug use, boom. So you want to tell me we saw what happened with Obamacare. You just said it. Health premiums went up 6 times. What's it? A family now is paying $2,000 a month for health care. That was my first mortgage. I don't know about you. Correct?
Yeah. No. Listen. And here's another fact. And you know we deal with facts on this particular program. It's not hearsay here. Okay? Because, Ron, if you look at the facts of the 20 million covered because of Obamacare, and this is unbelievable to me, 3/4 went on Medicaid, not private health plans, folks. Now, tell me if I'm wrong, but Medicaid, Dr. Ron, was originally meant for what? Low-income women and children. Yep. And as well as the disabled, right? I mean, when you think about it, Medicaid was originally meant for low-income women and children and the disabled. So you look at the health law adding millions of able-bodied, childless adults when you think about it, okay? This is a fact. And you look at the president here. President's not revoking the Medicaid expansion, but what the administration wants, they want able-bodied recipients to work. And when you have a shocking, whatever, I think it's 40% that don't work even part-time, man, that's a problem. So, you know, the administration already backed state efforts through this. This is freeloading here, folks.
Yeah, but Jay, let's go back to the big thing. It's an illusion, too, because, you know, we get these mantras that people say, 35 million uninsured. Here's the thing. We had private insurance that you could afford. By the way, it is not a right to have health care. I'm sorry, because we see giving another big government program is a nightmare. If we have a full-blown Medicare national, it'll bankrupt this country so damn fast. But here's my point. We had people, 90% of the country was insured. For people that were down on their luck or had low-income jobs and couldn't afford health care, we had Medicaid. Then we also have public free clinics for people that are really destitute. And no hospital in the country, by law, was allowed to reject someone from the emergency room from care. So there was nobody dying on the streets. There was it was a propaganda illusion to push for national health care. But you and I know, every time the government gets involved in something, it doesn't become an efficient, well-run, well-oiled machine. It becomes a fat, bloated, overspending nightmare. Look at the VA. I mean, my God, why do we own buildings for the vets? Just give them good health care insurance and get rid of those buildings and everything else. And I mean, what the cost of running a VA? It's a nightmare. So this is what we're talking about with healthcare, but I want to go back to my point. We have to look at the practice, procedure, and philosophy of what we consider healthcare. I'm not knocking the medical doctor himself. I'm knocking the medical profession because they sold their soul to the big pharma industry, and we've become dispensers of pharmaceutical drugs, and you will never medicate your way out of what you lifestyled your way into. It's an impossibility. Otherwise, we'd be in great health. What's the number one killer in this country? Do you know?
Heart disease.
You know what the number two is?
Cancer.
Yep. You know what number three is? Going to blow your mind. Conventional medical treatment. When I read it, Jay, I was like, what? And I'm telling you, I looked it up. I looked it up in four different places. Between 400,000 and 800,000 Americans die each year to not medical mistakes, conventional medical treatment, meaning reactions to drug, hospital-borne infections, whatever it may be. When you combine that plus medical mistakes, it's closer to 800,000 Americans die each year. Do you know 800,000 dead Americans is more dead Americans than the Revolutionary, Civil, World War I, World War II, Vietnam, War of 1812, and Iraq, and both conflicts in Iraq. Each year, the practice of our healthcare system, as it is now, kills more Americans than every one of those wars combined. That's the truth. So we're looking at this system, and it doesn't work. It's overbloated. It's unsustainable. It's imploding on itself. And due to that fact of just using medications and having, the problems with hospital-borne infections, the problems with compliance and drug reactions and everything else, the system needs to be rethought. But you know how the country works, and you know how things get done. You're going to watch, Jay. The only way I think things are going to change is that everything has to go boom to the point where where finally the government says there is no more money. Because I can't see where we're going with this. Because if you think that we're going to just come up with a new way to pay for this, it's going to – I mean, why are these premiums going up? Why is my premium going up 10%? I haven't used my health care insurance in years. For me, it's catastrophic insurance. God forbid you have something – you have to go to a hospital. So – when you look at these systems, we're not asking the big picture that the medical profession itself and the practice of how they're utilizing their approach to health care, that's what needs to be brought into question. There's some fabulous medical physicians, but the whole system, the way it's designed now, the way you see the TV commercials promoting drugs, prescription drugs, Jay, this thing cannot – it's the Hindenburg. It's going to blow.
It is, but, you know, it gets political. You know it and I know it. And when I hear politicians, especially on the Democratic side, that say that the situation of the administration is cruel as far as what they want to lay out here, really. I mean, to me, Ron, why should taxpayers support healthy people who refuse to work? And jobs are plentiful right now. You tell me why. Give me an answer to that.
Look, we have a national movement to the left that is so far left to socialism that, you know, providing people with, you know, $1,000 guaranteed incomes, reparations for slavery. I mean, we're not promoting what the country was founded upon and the greatness of the American dream, which is self-reliance, self-responsibility, hard work, dedication, work hard for your dream. You know, we come up – everybody has an excuse of why they – look, if you're not successful, rethink your plan in life. You know, instead of blaming – we blame everybody for everything. No one takes responsibility anymore. For God's sakes, we sue cigarette companies for causing lung cancer. Really? You didn't know it was healthy? You know, I mean, you really didn't know it was unhealthy? So, you know, we have to rethink the whole concept of our healthcare system. I got to bring up something that's a pet peeve of mine. Every time we have a healthcare issue that goes on to a national debate, they trot out the MD. And I'm like, wait a minute, we're dead last in healthcare. Dead last every year. We're the most medicated country in the world, and we're dead last of all the industrialized nations. Why do we trot these guys out like they're experts? They come out on a stage like they're Bill Belichick and they just won 6 Super Bowls. No, they're the New York Jets. It's unbelievable. I'm not condemning the individual doctor per se, but I'm saying, wait a minute. Why do we have the medical profession as the exalted top of the pyramid in terms of health? When you look at the practice and the country's health, it's a miserable failure. So it's like at the Super Bowl saying, you know what? At halftime, we're going to bring out the last place coach for a pep talk. It makes no sense to me. Medical doctors are not experts on health. And I know that's a bold statement. They're experts on disease, the treatment and diagnosis of disease, illness, and symptoms. And we need them. We need that. But they're certainly not experts on health. My God, how many years do they prescribe antibiotics to the point we have now drug-resistant superbugs, and not once did they tell people to take probiotics, that the good bacteria in your gut that gets destroyed by antibiotic therapy, leading to autoimmune disease, leading to heart disease, leading to inflammatory diseases. They're not experts on health. That's just the way it is. Now, until we understand that, and, you know, so every time I turn on Oprah and they go, we're going to bring out this guy, he's going to tell us about, wait a minute, whoa, why are we bringing this guy out? What is his profession given this country? Dead last, unsustainable health care, imploding upon itself. That's where I believe we have to get a different understanding. Understand the lanes that we should be in. The medical doctor is invaluable and a vital service for disease, the treatment of disease, the diagnosis of disease. Health, the maintenance and restoration of health. When was the last time you went to EMD? He talked about your health. Excuse me. He talked about your diet. He talked about exercise. What did they mention for a second? That's not health care. And again, you know, I don't want to hear like, oh, you're attacking the medical. No, I'm not. It is what it is. They're the number three killer in the country, for God's sake, statistically. So unless we really want to get down to the nuts and bolts of this and say, we got to reevaluate this health care system. If we want to lower these numbers, we have to get people to doctors that are going to look at their diet, that are going to look at their exercise, that are going to change their lifestyle. That's not done in the medical profession.
Now, listen, it gets political. And, you know, you brought up the word debate, and you saw last week, did any of those candidates on that stage, round two on a Thursday, have any viable option here? No. I heard flip-flops beyond belief. Even from Kamala Harris, who I like, she doesn't have a bona fide answer regarding healthcare. Bernie said nobody has a plan regarding healthcare, okay? So, you know, you look at the reforms currently, and to me, it spells out this. Well, it's going to enable millions priced out of Obamacare to buy insurance, Dr. Ron Sinagra, while protecting people with pre-existing conditions. Also, to me, one of the biggest problems is you're also going to get the scammers, as I spoke prior. You're going to get the scammers out of Medicaid. That has to be done. Well, if you follow those three types of categories, you'll be in pretty good shape, I think. Well, I didn't hear one viable option as far as that stage in Miami last Thursday night.
No, and you're not going to. But let me ask you a question. All day on TV, I see Progressive Insurance, State Farm, Allstate. Do you know in the United States you can't buy health care across state lines? We need to have competition, just like with auto insurance. Let's drive down. Let's have affordable individual health care. Here's the other problem. When you go to national health care, how long before they see someone having a drink? Hey, why are you drinking? I'm paying for your health care. Hey, fat guy, put down the pizza. You have a heart attack. I got to pay. That, you see where I'm going? You see what I'm saying? Now, all of a sudden, when you have your individual health care premiums and we're in the country was based on the rights of the individual, not this global or this conglomerate or you know, this whole socialistic viewpoint. When you go to national health care, how long before they step in and just start saying, hey, you can't do that? Hey, or people on the street. I mean, think about how crazy it is. I remember people getting in people's faces that were driving an SUV because of their carbon footprint. If that could have you, if I would have brought that up to you 30 years ago, you'd be like, that could never happen. Well, if we go to national health care and it's this big, massive thing. Now, how long before somebody having a drink, having a cigarette, someone who's eating wrong, somebody who wants to live in a free country? Remember, that was the foundation of this country, right? It's a free country. Get out of health care. Get affordable private health care. Bring back that Medicaid system where the people that can't afford, I mean, I was paying $200 a month, $240 a month. And there were other states it was cheaper at that point. We're only talking 7-8 years ago. I mean, if you can't afford $200 a month, okay, I got it. Well, that's why we have Medicaid. The system was working. And we could have improved that system by opening up insurance across state lines to have a competitiveness. Instead,
let me say this, though. You know, everybody, you know, was pointing out regarding the administration. And really, when you look at it, Ron Sinagra, Dr. Ron, the administration wants to protect people with pre-existing conditions by duplicating nationwide. You know, several states have what they have done to fund coverage for the sick separately. To me, you know, everybody's abandoning. Nobody's abandoning the sick here with this plan. I don't see it. So I look at the key pieces of what's going on here regarding the administration. You know, you set up a special fund for people with pre-existing conditions. You allow lower-cost plans, and you reform Medicaid. That, to me, is key. You get the scammers out, reform it, and at least you have some traction here as far as a plan is concerned. I don't hear anything else that's certainly viable.
I agree with you 100% on them, but remember now, we have to also move people towards a lifestyle change and understanding that you can't medicate your way out of this, because our attempt to medicate our way out of our health issues without looking at the lifestyle issues that are creating them. I mean, that's that system. I don't care, Jay. Me and you could talk till next Tuesday. It's never going to work. We can't just keep medicating people and not addressing diet and lifestyle and other factors. Otherwise, you know, that's why we are where we are. That's why we're the dead last in health. We just keep medicating people and we're not addressing the fundamental causes of health.
Agreed. Dr. Ron Sinagra with us, Sunrise Wellness Center, folks. If you haven't checked it out, you must. Listen, the guy's a genius. He knows what he's doing. He's one of the best in the business. 563-1444. Check it out. SunriseWellnessCenterLI.com. Now, before we let you go, I wanted to save a couple of minutes.
Yes.
There was a lot of back and forth, and I'll say this. You know, kudos to the legislature, and I'll tell you, I don't say kudos to Governor Cuomo very often, but to me, they did the right thing on vaccines. It was a touch and go, but the bill to end, Dr. Ron, the religious exemption from laws mandating basic public health vaccinations almost died in the committee. There was an assemblyman out of West Jersey, his name I forget, courageously changed his vote to let the measure move to the floor. I mean, to me, this was a no-brainer. When I see an outbreak of this disease of 800-plus cases in the city, what was it, Rockland County as well. And let me point out also, because it gets lost a little bit, folks, largely in Orthodox Jewish communities. And that's where you have, you know, the pseudo-scientific fears about side effects from vaccinations have somehow proliferated here. So, in essence, key point right there, but I thought Albany did the right thing here.
Well, you know, you and I differ very much on this. I was very against that bill, and now it's put into law. But let me give you another side effect about this, or another fact about it. Here's my point. now the parent no longer is the guardian of the child. The state now determines what vaccines go into your kid. Let me ask you a question. You get the flu vaccine every year?
Sometimes I do,
and
yes.
Sometimes you don't. Well, if they make it mandatory, now you have to. What if they come up with an Ebola virus vaccine? And now they say, we're going to mandate the Ebola vaccine. What if they come up with an HIV vaccine? Now we're going to mandate the... You have no control of what goes into your child. And we gave that away to the state. And that scares the hell out of me, Jay. Because now parents, you have no right to say, you know what? I've researched this. I don't like that. I don't think it's a good idea. And how many times, Jay, in history... has what the medical profession said was fact, true, and the law, and it comes back that they were dead wrong. And we've seen it all the time. By the way, they just changed their mind on an aspirin a day, and antibacterial soap, and baby powder, and we can go on and on and on. So my point is, it's a dangerous path. For the measles thing, you thought it was a great idea. I disagree with you, but I respect your opinion on it. My point is now we're in dangerous waters because now, first of all, what if you say, I don't want to give my kid an Ebola vaccine. I don't want to give my kid an eight. They came out with this new vaccine, 8+ different conditions in it. I don't want to get it. I'm sorry. If you don't have the 8+ vaccine, you can't get into school. Jay, that's just craziness in my mind. But we're out of time.
It's crazy.
And this is going to be a good topic. You and me are going to have a nice long discussion on this because this is going to be in court. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is taking this to court to try to put a stay on this. So we're going to have some good debate and some good radio coming up on this.
Listen to me, young man. When I see numbers for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the 880 new cases, 24 states identifying, most of those cases in New York, Empire State's total I gave you before. When I see polls that 84% are in favor, 13 opposed as regarding mandatory, those who support the mandatory vaccinations, to me, that is good reason. You can't compare Ebola to measles. Dr. Ron, you can't do that.
But what happens if that happens? They've already upped the schedule now. They're including HPV vaccine. What if they say for your kid to go to school, he has to have a flu shot? And you're like, I don't want my kid to have the flu shot. I never had the flu. My kid's healthy. I don't want the flu shot. You have no choice.
Here is the bottom line, though. I get it. But the fact is that, you know, numerous, rigorous studies, scientific studies, have debunked the supposed harms associated with vaccines. That's a fact, folks. And in fact, leading docs...
We can always debate that. But let me tell you something, Jay. We don't live in a democracy. So you say 80%... A democracy is two wolves and a sheep deciding what's for dinner. We live in a constitutional republic where the rights of the individual is paramount. And that's not the way this is going down right now. As the parent, I'm going to be a new parent. You know what my number one job on this planet now is? The safety and welfare of my child as I see fit. And now... that's given to the state, not me. And they also changed the law, Jay, and you know this. If the state and the schools make you vaccinate your child and your child dies or gets autism or gets sick or gets a neurological condition, no one is responsible. That's crazy.
Listen, when I see leading doctors and experts repeatedly and almost unanimously come out in support of vaccinees, that's something. And, you know, to me, you know, again, I use that pseudoscientific word. You know what I'm saying? The opposition in that regard, to me at least, persists only in the fervid conspiratorial fringes.
You want to have a show, I'll come in with my facts, too, and we'll have a fun. We'll yell at each other for 25 minutes. We'll have a lot of fun.
How about next time we do that?
You got it. Okay. I'll mind you bring yours. We'll bring the gloves.
Let the two shall meet. Listen, it's always a pleasure to have you. I love you, my friend.
You have a great day, and I'll see you in a couple weeks.
There you go. Have a great 4th, soon to be Papa as well.